We've been talking a lot about prayer, and I've gotten questions about prayer. I know you probably have, or maybe you've been praying for a long time and you think, does it matter? Is God working through it? How do I know it's God working and not just me doing what I want to do? And so one of the devotionals, I think it was day 5, he kind of addressed that a little bit. The devotional is not that long, but he adds some scriptures in there. And as I've said to you before, you should read more than just the one verse that's in any devotional. One of the stories that he shared was from 1 Samuel. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel this morning, chapter 3, verse 1 through 21, very beginning of that book. It's in the Old Testament. It's kind of, we're getting through, they're in going into the promised land. They're there. Moses is dead. He's gone. Joshua's dead. He's gone. They've gone through the judges, everybody doing what's right in their own eyes. And then it happens in 1 Samuel where we start and God's moving towards giving them a king. We don't start with David. We eventually get to David. We start with King Saul. But this is even before that. This is a story about Samuel. It's a story about a prophet that God uses to bring about his purposes in eventually giving them a king. But he used it in his, Jack Hayford is the guy that did the devotionals. He used it in, I think it was day 5, this passage. And so it stuck with me, and I thought it was a good one because we're all wanting to hear from God. We want to go in the direction God wants us to go, but how do we know we are? And when we talk about communication, we know communication's a two-way street. You're not communicating if you're always the one doing the talking. So in a message like this, it's pretty much me communicating with you. It's not a dialogue. If you're in a life group, if you're in a connection group, it's much more of a dialogue. That's two of us. But this is a communication. If your marriage is all about just a monologue, that's you talking, you probably don't have a great relationship. Sometimes you just need to shut up and listen. I get that a lot. Ted, just shut up and listen. Well, that happens in prayer. Are we listening for God, or is it just Ted saying, hey, God, this is what I need. This is what's going on. This is what I need you to do for me. This is who I need you to kind of strike. No, I don't pray that way. For any of you anyway, other bad people, I do, but not you guys. Have you ever heard this? Someone said to you, they're relating a story to you, and that person's not in the room, that person's not with you hearing this story told. But when you're listening to it, it's like, oh, that's exactly what so-and-so would say. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever had that happen to you? You're telling a story and someone's like, yep, that's exactly what Ted would say. Yep, that's exactly what my dad would say. You sound a lot like so-and-so. That saying simply means you know that person. You know that they said that. So the person relating the story to you is telling you the truth because you're like, yep, that's exactly what Ted would say. I'm sure that came out of his mouth. Because you know that person. And sometimes, you know, they don't need to be there, but you're trusting the story because you know that person. I've played a game called Taboo. Anybody ever play Taboo? Some of you have. If you haven't played Taboo, you get a card. And on the card is a word. And I'm trying to get my team to say that word without me saying it. But in Taboo, there's 5 other words that you're not allowed to say. So let's pretend I'm trying to get you to say Pavilion H. Okay? And on my card it says you can't say picnic, you can't say Knoebels, you can't say lunch, family reunion, none of that stuff, park. So I got to get you to say Pavilion H without even using those words. Now some of you have played that with me, and when my wife and I are on the same team, there might as well not be anybody else on the team. Because I'll just start saying something and she'll say the word. Or she'll do the same thing for me and I'll just say the word. And it gets frustrating. My family doesn't like playing with us because they always lose. Some of you have played that with me as well. I'm not sure if I lost that game yet or not. I may have. But I've probably blocked it out. So That's really because you know that person so well, you can finish their sentence. You know that's exactly what they would say. You're great at those kinds of games together just because it's like you're so in tune. So take that same idea and apply it to your prayer life. Are you that in tune with God that you could do that? Because God's not trying to keep all of his will, his purposes, his ways. He's not trying to hide that. He wants us to know that. And so he's revealed it to us. The question is, do we know the sound of his voice? Now, I personally have never heard God speak to me audibly. And I've never had a dream in which I knew this is what God was saying and doing. If you've been following the worldwide church, you've probably heard, I have heard, read stories, specifically in the Middle East, of people who were Muslim, who had a dream about Jesus and have come to faith in Christ. And that story wasn't just, hey, there's like three of those. It's story after story after story after story. I've not had that experience. God speaks in lots of different ways. He speaks in unique ways. If you read through the Bible and you just pay attention to all the different ways God spoke to somebody, like think of Abraham, think of Moses, think of Samuel, we're going to do that today. Think of Peter and how Paul did it. Like, it's all unique. So I think God speaks to us in unique ways. But the question is, are we listening for God to speak in our prayer life? And I thought I'm glad that Jack Hayford in that devotional brought that out, because that's a pretty important part of our prayer time if we're going to be doing what God wants us to do, if we're going to follow his ways and his will. So we're going to use 1 Samuel. It'll be up here on the screen. If you have your Bible, you can turn there as well, because a bunch has happened in chapter 1 and 2 until we get to chapter 3. I'm not going to go through all of that. But what we're talking about is whether or not we're good listeners in our prayer lives. So Samuel was getting introduced to that. He was brand new. He was just a kid. His mom, Hannah, gave him to God and said, I'm as a thank you to God for God blessing her with this son, because she had not had any kids. She's basically said, I'm devoting you to the Lord and to his work. So Samuel is with a guy by the name of Eli. He is the priest at the time, kind of like the head priest of Israel at the time. And so Samuel is with him. And so obviously he's like the head priest. So sure, he knows God. He must be really in tune with God. Eli's sons are already dead because they were priests too and supposedly knew God, except they had blasphemed God. They were doing a lot of evil things, taking advantage of a lot of people, and they died. God struck them down. But they were priests. Didn't they know all about God? Again, we've talked about that. There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And Samuel's going to give us a little picture of that. But one of the keys to that is listening. So chapter 3, we pick it up. Samuel, this young boy, with Eli, this head priest. And here's the story. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. God had not been speaking on a regular basis. The way he did that in Samuel's day was through the prophets. But in those days, the author tells us, the word of the Lord was rare. It says in verse 2, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, he was old, was laying down at his usual place. They were in the tabernacle where God's presence dwelt. That's where people would come and offer their sacrifices and that kind of thing. That's where the priests did all their work. And it says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. This is where they kept the ark of the covenant, in this place. This is God's presence is here, except we found out in verse 1, the word of the Lord was rare in these days. So it seems to suggest the author is telling us something's going to change here. So Samuel's there with Eli, the old priest, and this brand new young guy who's serving with him. Then the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, "Here I am." Now, as I read this, it's going to sound like this is literally happening. In ancient Near Eastern literature, they would have understood this to be a dream. When we hear the word, there weren't many visions, that they're connecting that with Samuel and God appearing to Samuel in this dream. Although when I read it, it's going to sound like he's literally getting out of his bed and going over to Eli and that whole thing. So you got to envision this as being a dream that Samuel's having. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So Samuel, he went back and he lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." And in verse 7, he says, now Samuel did not, the author has given us a little parentheses here. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. We're going to start a journey. We're in chapter 3. We're going to start a journey with Samuel from this point on, of Samuel learning what it means to know the Lord. Eli the high priest, you'd think he knew the Lord, right? Apparently not. Apparently there's a difference between these two things. And Samuel's a young man. And so now he's going to learn what it means to know the Lord, to know the word of the Lord. And that's an important point when it comes to prayer. Knowing the voice of God is really what God's all about in prayer. As I said, communication is a two-way street. And it suggests relationship. Me telling you a story and repeating something that someone you know well, and you'd say, "Yeah, I guarantee you that's what so-and-so said," is because you know them so well. You knowing, without even having the person to tell you what they're thinking, is because you know them so well. That's what prayer really is. It's knowing the voice of God because you have a deep relationship with Him. And you know, okay, what would God have me do in this instance? Because you know God so well, you know how you would react in this instance. This person at work wronged me. Should I punch him in the face or no? Is that a bad thing? I'm using something obvious, obviously. I hope it's obvious to you. Don't punch him in the face. You name the situation. Well, what would God have me do in this situation? If you know the voice of God, who's speaking to us all the time, then you know what to do. Prayer is simply trying to know His voice better. That's exactly what's happening with Eli and Samuel. And Samuel's going to know the voice of God. One, his mom said, "Yep, you're devoting your entire life to knowing the voice of God." Samuel is spending all of his time at that temple with Eli so that he can know the voice of God, so he can learn the voice of God. And so whatever situation he's in, he's trying to be able, okay, Lord, what's your will in this situation? He's going to learn what it means to communicate with God. Now, we call that prayer. As we see in the Old Testament, God spoke to people in ways that'd be like, if I'm speaking to you now, that's how God did it. Obviously, God is speaking to Samuel in this story. He's saying, "Samuel." Samuel hears it, gets up, whether he's dreaming or not, it's happening. And then we saw God do that with Moses. We keep seeing God do that over and over. So it's a communication thing, but we're seeing from the prophets that it's also listening. So how much are you doing that in your prayer time? Just listening. Just being quiet, meditating on what you've just read. If you're a journaler, writing something down. Or is it all one-way communication? And then a piece of hearing God's voice is actually doing it. That's how we know God. That's how we know we're hearing His voice. We are adjusting our life to what God is saying, and we are ultimately obeying what God says to us. That's really what prayer is all about. If you're trying to get in the will of God, then there's got to be obedience as a part of that. When you know what you ought to do and actually doing it. This is what Samuel's going to be doing. We're just getting introduced to the first time he's hearing that voice of God. And if you read the entire book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, you'll be introduced to Saul, you'll be introduced to David, Samuel serving as the prophet. You'll discover how well he's done at that. So now we'll back in our story. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and he lay down in his place. And now author has built up the climactic point. Repeated, that's repetition means emphasis in the Old Testament. If he's repeating something, he's emphasizing something. The story is about to take a turn. It's going to take a twist. And it really takes a twist here and continues throughout the rest of Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and we get the next kind of chapter in this redemptive story God's writing. So then the Lord came and stood there calling as the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, now what he's about to tell Samuel has to do with chapter 2, which we didn't read. It has to do with something God said to Eli, something that's happening because of Eli's sons and the evil they were doing. So maybe this story doesn't make sense to you, but God is telling Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle." He's doing something brand new, and he's going to use Samuel to do it. "At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I have spoke against his family from beginning to end." You got to go to chapter 2 to understand what that is. "For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God and he failed to restrain them." There was all kinds of evil by the very priests who were said to represent God to the people and represented the people to God. So this is what God told Eli back in chapter 2. And because they failed at what they were supposed to do, he was judging them. "Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." And Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Obviously, it had something to do with Eli, and it wasn't good. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it that he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." Now, Samuel has an option here. He could lie. How would Eli know? How would Eli know what God told him? Or he could obey. Part of understanding the voice of God, hearing the voice of God, Samuel heard it. He spent his time trying to figure out what God was saying. And now the question was he going to do it? Because we've said, we talked about last week actually, sin gets in the way of us hearing God's voice. Sin gets in the way of having a good relationship with whoever you have a relationship with. As I said, if there's something between you and your spouse, conflict, argument, something, your relationship is not going to be great. So Samuel has a choice. He's just learning to hear the voice of God. What's he going to do? So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." Eli knew. Eli knew he had messed up big time. But he knew who God was. And he knew that God was speaking through Samuel. And Samuel, it says here, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, that was from the north to the south, all of it, everything from top to bottom, in between, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear to at Shiloh, that's where this tabernacle was. So in those 21 verses, we had a reversal. The word of the Lord in those days was rare, we found out in verse 1. But now, as Samuel was learning the voice of God, the Lord continued to appear to him at Shiloh, and he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And it is clear throughout the rest of Samuel that God is speaking. And he is using Samuel the prophet to do it. And so if you read, this was Samuel's first time listening for the voice of God. He didn't understand. He was going to Eli thinking Eli was talking to him. But he wasn't. It was God. God decided to speak through the prophets. He stopped speaking through and to Eli because Eli didn't know the voice of God. And Samuel was beginning to learn that. It takes time. If you're a new believer, it's probably like, is that God's voice? Is that just what I want? Is that the YouTube video I just saw? Is that their voice? There are lots of voices telling you lots of things. Are you spending the time with God to know his voice? Well, that's exactly what Samuel was doing. He was spending the time and he was listening and then he was obeying. And so in those days, we have a story about God speaking through the prophets. He did it a lot. Just read the Old Testament and it happens all the time. And I'm not going to re-preach this message. You can go back and look at it. There is a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. It was clear that these priests who supposedly knew God did not know him. But Samuel knew the voice of God. And he followed and he obeyed. And then, if we get through the Old Testament, we see God speaking again. This time through Jesus. You know, the whole incarnation thing, God in flesh, the very words of God are being spoken to the people of Israel and everybody else who came in contact with Jesus. And so we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we literally have the words of Jesus passed down to us, that these are God's words to his people. And so again, we're not them. I'm not sure if you have, but I'm sure many of you probably haven't heard God's voice like Samuel did. And certainly you and I weren't walking around to hear God's voice through Jesus because we were hanging out at the campfire with him. So how is God speaking today? How is he speaking now? We don't believe that God is done speaking to us. He was working through Samuel. Guess what? We just talked about in the whole story about this little light of mine is because God wants to speak through you. How is he doing that? Well, we believe he's using his Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, hey, disciples, hey, guys, it's better if I go away so that I can send the Holy Spirit who now dwells in each one of you. And so you can go to your job in Orangeburg and Harrisburg and Hershey, and you can speak on behalf of God. And that guy in Nepal and India and China and France and Italy, wherever, can speak on behalf of God because the Holy Spirit indwells them. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. This is a New Testament book of the Bible. Very Jewish. If you read it, there's lots of Old Testament passages being discussed and trying to be explained to New Covenant, New Testament believers. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, the story of Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. Now, when the author of Hebrews was writing this, he didn't have the collection of what we call the New Testament. But the Bible is speaking on behalf of itself, saying, these are God's words, inspired by the Holy Spirit for you and me. And so today, God speaks to us in various ways and in unique ways. Because now the Holy Spirit indwells you and me. God's not just speaking through me and telling you stuff. God's speaking through you too. If the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, then God's using you to speak. So if that's how God spoke in those days and in those ways, how does God speak to us today? And again, it's to me, this is all about, I think, what Scripture's telling us. I think the stories we see, lots of books. One of the books that was formational in my discipleship journey was Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby, to just understand some of these things. This is where I learned this. This isn't new with me. I'm just telling you something I've learned on how God speaks and how I've seen him do it. Certainly, that's the Holy Spirit. We believe that God speaks through his Spirit. If you believe the Bible is true, then you believe that God uses his Holy Spirit to speak. Because sometimes some things happen where you just open up his word. It just happened to me this past week. I was having a conversation with somebody. I was reading this passage and I said, something that you just said, I just read. And I'm like, I just want to share with you this story so that it helped, like, this person struggling with something. So I used this to help encourage them because I think it helped with what God was doing through Samuel, through Saul, becoming a king, all that kind of stuff. There's a guy by the name of Bart Ehrman. He's a New Testament scholar, I think at Duke University, I'm not exactly sure. He knows all about God, way better than you, way better than me. He knows all the Greek letters, the letters of the Bible. He knows the Gospels, and he knows all about God. Not a thing he reads means anything to him. There's no obedience there. The Holy Spirit has a job in our life, and his job is to help conform us to be like Jesus. And so you can read all about the Bible and it never mean anything to you, never change your life. The Holy Spirit is essential in this work that's happening in your life and my life now. And he is serving as the voice of God in our day and in our age. And he speaks to us through his word. Yes, I believe he speaks to us through prayer. Maybe you don't hear it audibly. Anything I'm doing, certainly at this church, I'm saying, okay, God, what direction do you want me to go? What am I supposed to do? And I believe it's important that I pray about it. My family prays about stuff. We as a church pray about things. Hopefully you do, because we believe that God's going to do something through it. And there's times that God just, in his way, it's all unique. Your way doesn't have to be the same as mine, but God just kind of nudges me in a particular direction, and I'm just trying to be sensitive to that. And out of obedience, I just take that step and I say, all right, some of you have had that conversation with me. I said, hey, I'm just trying to obey what God said to me. I didn't hear it audibly, but he put your name on my heart, and here's why I'm having a conversation with you. And some of you are like, I wish God never would have put my name on Ted's heart. I know that happens to you guys, but that's just how it works, and maybe it works different for you. That's just me trying to listen, trying to spend that time with God, and then trying to obey. And it happens because our knowing the voice of God, this is why we're spending those 30 days in prayer, and hopefully it doesn't end in these 30 days. My hope is it becomes a habit. If you want to know the voice of God better, you've got to spend time with him in prayer. You've got to spend time in his word. You've got to rely and believe that the Holy Spirit is not trying to pull the wool over your eyes on where God's trying to direct you in your life and your family and the church and who he is. He also uses circumstances. We've said before, there's no such thing as coincidences. There's not big coincidences or little coincidences. There's just coincidences. Kim knows that Seinfeld reference. How many of you have talked to me and said, this happened and this happened. There's no way that was a coincidence. God was doing something. Yes, God uses our circumstances to say, hey, Ted, wake up. Multiple times when I was trying to figure out whether or not God was calling me into ministry, I'd have a conversation and God used Jess and said this to me. And then I just happened to be outside my house when I was living in Denver. I came home from the Navy. I was living with my mom and dad, and we were decorating for Christmas, and I was outside at the very time one of the guys from church was walking by the front porch, and we probably spent an hour and a half just talking. And then he had his hat on, he threw it down on the ground. I said, well, we're going to pray about it right now. And we just started praying about what God was doing in my life. I don't think that was a coincidence. Certain things that happened. So if these things are taking place in your life, maybe God's trying to tell you something. Yes, I believe he uses our circumstances to accomplish his will. That's how sovereign and powerful and all-knowing he is. I don't have to be a robot to do what God wants me to do. God can use my own will to still accomplish what he wants to accomplish, because he's trying to get me to hear his voice by sending that guy at that time, in that moment, as I was going through all this stuff in my heart, to talk and then to pray. So if that's been happening to you, maybe God's trying to tell you something. And believe it or not, God uses the church, other believers, to speak to you. If the Holy Spirit indwells you, God is going to use you to speak to somebody else. And I don't know how many times I've said that. Like, I didn't hear God tell me this for sure, but here's what is on my heart to tell you. And I was with a guy at seminary, and he was really struggling, and I just said, maybe God's trying to tell you to take a break. And that's what he did. And I do believe that God used me, because I was praying for him. I was praying about what he asked me to pray about. He used me to talk to that person. God is going to use you to talk to someone else, and maybe someone's been saying something to you, and that's really God. And what's holding you back is that obedience thing. Well, Ted, that would mean I'd have to do this, this, and this. Or this person says this, and that means I'd have to do this. So God's not going to make you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to speak to you. And for whatever reason, he uses fallible people like us. And this is why it's essential to be a part of a church body. Because if I'm off somewhere by myself doing my own thing, God can be speaking to me all the time, and before you know it, God sounds like a lot like Ted's own voice. Hey, you're pretty smart, God. You sound a lot like me. And then I go to church and I start talking to other people, and Tyler says this, and John says this, and then Jill says this, and then I start thinking, well, I'm a pretty big idiot, because that's not at all what I was thinking. It's essential that you got other people speaking into your life, because I can get it wrong. We have a leadership team. We call it a ministry council. There's 12 other people on that, speaking into whatever God's doing at Grace Church. It's not just me. Believe me, I know I can get it wrong. Well, that's true of us. That's true of our church. That's true of you. It's not like God doesn't want you to know what you're supposed to do, his will for your life, all those things we always pray about. God is still speaking. And oftentimes he uses these things in these days to accomplish his will and speak to you. And maybe you are somebody that has experienced those dreams or visions. Or maybe you're just somebody that it takes those three people that you talk to on a regular basis to help you confirm what God's saying. I'm thinking God's saying this, but hey, let me talk to you about this. And I have a buddy who I talk to. And he's like, no, that doesn't make sense, Ted. Or maybe it does. I'm like, okay, God's helping to confirm here for me what's going on. So let me just give you something practical. In your prayer life, in your prayer time, here are some questions that you could ask if you're trying to learn the voice of God. All of our devotionals that we've been doing through this prayer challenge have had some kind of scripture connected to it. And I'm saying, what is God saying through his word? So you read the passage and you have a prayer time and you're just like, okay, God, what do you want me to know from your word? Do you agree with what God's saying? Does what he's saying agree with what he said throughout his word? So you're praying and you're like, okay, God, what are you saying to me in this word? And you struck down Eli's sons because of sin, so you want me to strike down my enemies because of... Wait, but Jesus says, I am to love my enemies and pray for those who persecute me. Okay, now I'm going to have to make sense of this. Yep, you do. And that's why he gives you the church. That's why he gives you his word. That's why he gives you people like Jack Hayford and other devotional writers and authors to help you understand all that. But the question starts with, what are you trying to tell me, God, through this word? Is he confirming something? Like, don't just see your circumstances as just circumstances. Is God trying to confirm something through that? It's easy. God, okay, this happened and this happened. Are you trying to tell me something? Help me to know what it is you're trying to tell me. If you keep a journal, write it down. If you're thinking God's saying something to you, write it down. And then what I find is the best way, and plenty of you people know this from conversations that we have together, is I talk to other believers and say, here's where I think God's leading me. Here's what I think God's saying. What do you guys think? And I go to people that I know are seeking the voice of God and spend time in prayer, and I ask them because I believe God uses them to speak to me. And you don't have to have an MDiv to know that, like a master's of the divinity degree and go to seminary for the rest of your life and go in debt. Actually, you can spend a lot of time. What it takes, time, communication, and then you just got to start obeying. Okay, God, this is what I think you're saying to me. And if it feels hard and sacrificial, it's probably God saying it. Because you know the right thing to do. Okay, God, I think I need to go to this person and ask for forgiveness. Is that really you? Or maybe it's just me. It's probably God. God is not trying to hide from us. He has made himself known. He did it through the prophets, he did it through Jesus, and he's done it through his word that still speaks us today. And he's doing it through you. But all of that takes, learning the voice of God is all about relationship. And so we're going to sing a song called Same God. And we start in the Old Testament, we go all the way up to the New Testament, because the God who spoke to Eli is the same God who wants to speak to us. He's just doing it different. The question is, are we going to spend time with him to know his voice? Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you this morning. And my prayer is, Lord, that as we've done this 30-day prayer challenge, God, that it would be something that becomes a habit for us so that we would know your voice. God, prayer is all about relationship, and as we know, just from our own experience, relationship is a two-way street. It's not just one person, but it's two or more. So God, the same is true of our prayer life. And Lord, I know sometimes listening for your voice is hard to do. Sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes it feels complicated and mysterious. But I know, God, that you want us to know your ways. You want us to know your heart and who you are. And so, God, if we trust that you are good, if we trust, God, that you want what's best for us, even when we don't see it, if we trust that your word is true, Lord, then we're going to start trusting that voice that we're hearing that maybe sometimes sounds like my wife or my husband. Maybe sometimes sounds like that friend at church. Maybe it's something I didn't really want to hear. But God, we're going to take that next step in discerning and knowing your voice of obedience, of faith and trust, Lord, that you're going to work. And the amazing thing is, even when we make wrong decisions, as we sung about earlier, as your word tells us, you can still bring about redemptive purposes. And so, God, I pray that you who worked in the life of Samuel, in this story, who worked through your son Jesus in the Gospels, who worked through your great missionary Paul in the New Testament, still wants to work through regular people like us today. So God, may we hear your voice when you speak to us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand. If you would do that now, just stand. And we're going to sing this song called Same God, as I said. And I just want you to hear in these words what God was doing then and believe that God wants to do it now. And the crazy thing is, God wants to use you to do it. We just got to listen and hear his voice.